Welcome to the Generations Radio broadcast, my friends. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, homeschool father of five, also Steve Vaughn in studio with you as we address educational issues on this edition of the program. We're going to take a look at what's happening in America's public universities. That's a sad scene, Steve.
Yeah.
Here's a story from campusreform.com. An Ohio State core class is teaching that Christians are dumber than atheists. They do it on a test. Very interesting story. It's core class psychology 1100. It's a general education requirement class. And the question was part of an online homeschool quiz. An Ohio State University class apparently determined another fundamental difference between Christians and atheists. Their IQ points. Here's what it is. You can actually see the screenshot on this edition of the story from campusreform.org. Theo has an IQ of 100. Amy has an IQ of 125. Which of the following statements do you expect to be true? Amy earns less money than Theo. Theo is more liberal than Amy. Theo is an atheist. While Amy's a Christian. Amy's an atheist. Amy with the IQ of 125 is an atheist, while Theo with an IQ of 100 is a Christian. That's the correct answer. That's the correct answer.
All right.
Now, that's pretty in your face. First of all, that's pretty in your face. That's pretty, you know, you Christians are a bunch of stupid, stupid, stupid people. Stupid, stupid. But you'd be idiots. You'd be a bunch of dumb idiots. Okay. So that's kind of in your face, wouldn't you say? That's kind of like... You know, let's throw them into the lions and see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's happening. It's very aggressive agenda opposing Christianity in this country. And the reason why American college is so much more opposed to Christianity than, you know, like cannibals in New Guinea is because, you know, once you've become Judas Iscariot, you know, once you've finally said, I'm Judas Iscariot, I am an apostate, I'm a twice dead tree blowing in the wind, as Jude would put it. I have been there. I have seen the t-shirt. I got the t-shirt. I got 28 t-shirts. I grew up in the Christian faith, and I can't stand it. I am utterly, utterly opposed to Christianity. These people are embittered against the Christian faith, and that's why you're going to see a radically aggressive anti-Christian environment in your average university today.
Yeah, they hate the love of God because the love of God is self for others.
No, that's
true
too.
And they're self for self. And so when they see that, they're feeling the judgment, even though we, you know, as Christians, we don't have to judge them. They just feel it from us because we're the light and we're salt. And salt in a wound hurts, and light in the dark eyes hurts.
And darkness hates light. Yes. Darkness hates light. Anytime Christians show up and say, yeah, well, I think there may be a God, and I think we may have sinned against him, and, you know, being rebellious against him is not a good thing because he's really, really, really big, and you're a little twerp. You know, that kind of thing, that kind of worldview.
Yeah.
You know,
so
something
then
way
stupid.
Beyond you created the tremendous universe. And this materialistic, naturalistic idea that, you know, you're just cosmic dust, no purpose for life, no purpose for ethics, no basis for ethics, you know, that's a bad worldview.
Yeah.
Once you start to question that worldview, you're stupid. Why? Because you have undermined the entire basis upon which the modern humanist university rests.
Right.
And they don't like that.
Right.
Ooh, they don't like that. No, 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 no. Okay, so... Number one, here's the first thing about what's happening at Ohio State University. These people in Ohio State University are very, very anti-Christ or anti-Christian.
Yeah.
Taking a very strong position against Christianity, much, much stronger than the Japanese would. I was in Japan. You'd never see this. You'd never say, Christians are stupid and Shintoists are smart. You wouldn't see that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You would never see that in Japan. Japan was just, you know, I just don't believe it. And they walk on. It wouldn't be this emotional hatred going on. But the emotional hatred towards Christ and towards Christianity and Christians is very, 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 very strong in America. But here's the other thing, Steve. Okay, so here's the logic here. You have your bachelor's in philosophy, so
yes.
we're gonna rely on that for just a moment.
Okay.
Okay. Theo has an IQ of 120 or 100, and Amy has an IQ of 125. Amy must be an atheist while Theo's a Christian. Okay, now that... That is what is commonly known as a non sequitur.
Yeah.
Okay, now, for those of you attending Ohio State University.
Yeah.
Okay. Steve, would you explain to the people attending Ohio State University what a non sequitur is?
Yeah. A sequitur basically is like a sequential thing.
Okay.
And so non-sequence, it doesn't follow. It doesn't follow.
Does not follow.
So that is a logical
now, it
fallacy.
It apparently follows for the psych professor for this Psychology 1100 class, this general ed requirement at Ohio State University.
Yeah.
Evidently, it follows for him.
Yeah.
Evidently, you know, the logic being taught at Ohio State University
Yeah.
is filled with non sequiturs. So this is the new education you're receiving at Ohio State University, friends.
Right.
This is a new form of education. It's filled with non sequiturs. And for what it's worth, here's a few other things that might be taught at the Ohio State University psych class. The school in which my child goes to is big. The classroom must be big. Okay, that's another good one.
Yeah.
That woman drives a BMW. She must be rich. Okay, it's another non sequitur. So these are the kinds of things that you need to be teaching at Ohio State University. These are the there's many non sequiturs. Think about the possibilities, Steve, of all the non sequiturs you could teach. Greenhouse gases contribute to global warming. Humans contribute to greenhouse gas production. Humans are solely to blame for global warming. There's another one.
Oh,
bet you that one's taught at Ohio State University.
I'm sure it is. Yeah. It's taught everywhere.
She's wearing red shoes. Her favorite color must be red.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a friend that she wore red all the time, and she said, "I hate red. I hate red." But her mother bought her red stuff all the time because her mom thought she loved red, and her mom's reasoning for thinking she loved red is because she wore red all the time.
When it is sunny, I see my neighbor walk his dog. He must only walk the dog when it is sunny.
Yeah.
Another nonsense. Anyway, there's many non-sequiturs. Think about what could be taught at Ohio State University to these students. Sort of a watered-down form of an education. I think that's the bottom line here. Who in the world would want to send their kids to Ohio State University and pick up on these non-sequiturs? Probably also based on a false cause logical fallacy as well. And here's why. Because Vermont has more atheists, and Vermont has more college graduates than Mississippi. Mississippi has the highest church attendance rate in America. Therefore, Vermont atheists must be smarter than people attending church. See? The problem is we're not comparing atheists in Vermont to people who attend church in Vermont.
Right.
See, we wouldn't do that.
Right.
We compare Vermont to Mississippi. Mississippi is made up of a lot of poor people and people of a different cultural background, shall I say.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to be as generous as possible here. But see, there are other factors. The problem is the false cosmological fallacy is there are other factors that play into the equation. There may be other causes that we're not even taking into consideration. We're assuming that the one cause we have found, the one difference, that there is a difference, that there's some certain contrast between Vermont and Mississippi. The problem is there are multiple causes at work.
Right.
It may not be that the faith or the Christian faith contributes to the IQ, or that people of low IQs are attracted to the church. Now, it is true. Here's another point that needs to be made, though. It is true that there are not many wealthy and not many intellectuals that wind up in the Church of Christ. Oftentimes, Christ meanders into the area of the poor and those who are less educated.
Yeah.
He did when he was here.
Yeah.
Evidently, he didn't take on the Pharisees and such. They were the highest educated people in the country.
Right.
They weren't interested in what he had to say, so he went to the publicans and sinners. He went to the less educated, at least from what I can tell. He chose a fisherman versus philosophers to be his disciples.
Yeah. But you take a look at the greatest scientific discoveries that ever been made.
Oh, that's true.
To where some of these things are even named after these individuals.
Right. To think of Newton, you think of Pascal, you think of
Brahe,
Kepler,
Mendel.
Yeah, on and on and on and on.
Yeah,
just about every area of practical science. You look around and see all of what science has given us over the last 200 years. Hey, most of that came from Christians.
Right.
And it came in England, America, maybe France. But Christian countries, it did not come from New Guinea.
Right.
It didn't come from Saudi Arabia. Okay, they figured out a little bit about algebra, but the Muslims never did much with it. The Chinese figured out something about explosives, but they didn't do much with it creatively.
We did.
We sent a man to the moon.
Yeah.
That's what we did with
4th of July.
Yeah, and 4th of July.
Yeah, without gunpowder, that'd be
boring.
Yeah, it'd just be, great.
But. So there's, Christians have done some amazing things. But oftentimes, especially when we're looking at the decline of an empire, oftentimes it's the rich and the intelligent that sit at the feet of Socrates and Aristotle but aren't interested in sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And that's why the gospel often makes it to the poor and those that are downtrodden before it makes it to the rich. And oftentimes it's those who receive the gospel that wind up succeeding with it.
Right.
But their lives are changed. Their character is restored, and they begin to build up something of a wealth. Their nations become wealthy, and as the nations become wealthy, they become proud. And guess what happens when they become proud? They begin to apostatize from the faith, and they can't think of why they need this Jesus anymore, this poor carpenter from Nazareth, when they've built up their systems of knowledge and their scientific achievements all by themselves, forgetting that all of this came from a heritage of Christian culture and Christian thought over a period of 1,000 years. They forget their heritage. They enjoy the fruits of all of that heritage, all of that learning and all of that development and science and all of that blessedness in terms of character and other things. They forget about what Christian culture gave them in terms of law and character, and they wind up compromising on every single basic foundational fact and in the process apostatize from the faith. And that's pretty much where the Western world is moving. So yes. I think we need to sit at the feet of Christ again and go back to some of the basics, the fundamentals, and hear what Christ has to say about who created the world. Let's hear what Christ had to say about ethics. Let's hear what Christ had to say about, in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, about how to interact with others. And let's hear what Christ has to say about sin and what to do about that sin. Let's hear what Christ has to say about atonement. Let's hear what Christ has to say about sanctification and about every area of life. And that's what Ohio State University needs to do. They need to have a reformation of thought and knowledge. Go back to the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, as Christ would instruct us to do. And and if they did that, I think they'd be able to restore that university to doing something useful and producing good students, and maybe even producing a good culture and a good country someday.
Yeah, there's a huge difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is just gaining a bunch of facts. Wisdom is knowing what to do with them. And wisdom is found in Christ. Wisdom, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we see that in Proverbs. And you know, one of your study guides that you put out that our family has been through is the book of Proverbs. Mm-hmm. And there's several volumes of that. And it's just, you know, going through that, you can just feel within you the increase in the wisdom that God is giving to you.
Well, the fear of God and humility is essential. And I like to compare the fisherman with the philosopher, Peter and Aristotle. I taught rhetoric through Aristotle's book on rhetoric for 1 year and found that he forgot to include the tiny little thing that Peter thought was important when he said, be ready to give an answer to every man who asks for a reason for the hope that is within you. Peter says, do it with meekness and fear.
Right.
But Aristotle forgot to include those two little words. He doesn't talk about humility and he doesn't talk about fear. Doesn't see that to be important in his forensics class.
Yeah.
And even though the fishermen didn't know a whole lot about all the methodologies that Aristotle brought to bear, Peter understood the basics. He got the basics down straight, the foundational elements of good rhetoric.
Yeah.
And a good apologetic for the faith. That is meekness and the fear of God. And that's something that the philosopher just spaced on.
Yeah.
And again, a reason why we need to go back to the humble carpenter from Nazareth to understand the basics, the basic knowledge concerning all of life. Well, before we take a break, it's not as if Christians aren't out there making progress still to this day.
Oh, yeah.
We're not saying that Christians need to be in the basement and not out there. Christians are more and more out there, and they're actually doing very well in the university scene. Again and again, Patrick Henry College moot court competitions, these guys are winning top places in the country against even Ivy League schools. Patrick Henry College has done yeoman work at creating young people who can understand debate, understand presuppositions, engage the debate on multiple levels, and do so with a tremendous amount of skill. And they win their moot court debates again and again, year after year.
Yeah.
I haven't revisited where they are this year, but I'll bet they're still in the top two or three in the nation, still to this day.
Yeah, and CCU, who has a lot of the graduates from Colorado Speech and Debate, they're taking competitions too. Some of our new graduates who just started as freshmen at CCU, have won national competitions. Point Loma Nazarene Bible College out in California, they have a great Christian debate coach. They're winning competitions. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, because one of the things that we do teach, you know, I do teach a bit of Aristotle's rhetoric, but our verse for our club is 1 Peter 3:15, yeah. that we need yep. to be always
yep.
ready.
Yep.
And that when it comes to competition within our group, within our organization, we're sparring partners. We're not out to kill each other. We're out to build each other up by giving them good competition so that when they get to the world, they are ready to face those things and be able to give an answer with gentleness and with respect.
Well, and my guess is you don't teach non sequiturs.
No, we don't.
You try to avoid what Ohio State University is measuring in.
Right. One of the things that we say that actually does this is correlation does not mean causation.
Right, right.
And so just because two things, you know, that's why some people plant their potatoes at the full moon, you know, at midnight, because somebody did that once and they had a great potato crop. But correlation does not imply causation.
Okay, friends, be back in just a moment with more on the education scene. We're going to go to Duke University in just a moment. An interesting study they did on cheating. Really good. It ties into what's happening at Ohio State University. Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson. Hey dads, is it time to get away with your sons to build those relationships? Remember, fruitful relationships is what it takes to have a fruitful life. How you disciple your son has everything to do with the relationship you have with your son. So don't miss a once-in-a-lifetime experience at our father-son retreat at the Crooked Creek Ranch in the Colorado Rockies this August. This year, we will be featuring speakers like Scott Brown, Dan Einerson, Mike Chappa, Steve Vaughn, and yours truly from the Generations Radio program. You'll enjoy outdoor activities, training sessions, including wilderness first aid, mountain survival, blood tracking, as well as sports activities, swimming, high ropes course, rock climbing walls, kayaking, and hiking in the beautiful Colorado Rockies. And we're cutting the price for the 2014 Father-Son Retreat. It all happens August 28th through the 31st at the most fabulous retreat center in the Colorado Rockies. Register today for our Father-Son Retreat at check.org. That's CHEC.org. That's check.org under Check Events on the web. Or call toll-free 877-842-2432. That's 877-842-2432. Back on the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. Steve Vaughn also here in studio with me. And Christians considered dumber than atheists on a test at Ohio State University, Psych 1100 class. It's a general education requirement at that school. And Steve, maybe one of the reasons why Christians don't do well in these tests is because they don't go for non sequiturs like
yeah.
this. Okay, that
yeah,
may be one reason why they're dumber at Ohio State University.
Yeah,
they don't go for the non sequiturs.
Doesn't make sense.
And here's another reason why Christians may not do as well on tests as atheists and socialists at the Ohio State University. And that's a study that was done from, this is from Duke University and University of Munich. By the way, this is also campusreform.org. It was a study done by Duke University and University of Munich in Germany, revealed that socialists are more apt to cheat on tests. That's right. Researchers found that the longer that participants had been exposed to socialism, the more likely they were to cheat on the test.
No wonder they're doing better.
A coalition of professors from both Duke University and the University of Munich, Germany, released a study that showed socialists are significantly more likely to cheat, leading to questions of moral degradation. The longer individuals were exposed to socialism, the more likely they were to cheat on our task. The abstract reveals that the longer individuals were exposed to socialism, they were more likely to cheat. The researchers found that those from East Germany, previously Soviet-occupied socialist state, cheated significantly more than those from West Germany. Overall, the study shows that East Germans cheated twice as much as West Germans, and it is in line with the theory that exposure to socialism impacts dishonesty. Now, there may be some correlation issues there. It's possible.
Yeah.
There's just correlation but not causation. It's possible. It's possible. But it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me that in a socialist system, people are less likely to want to be rewarded according to their own abilities.
Right.
But rather to be rewarded by the fact that they just showed up. You know, hey, it's an equalitarian concept, and they're trying to be equalitarian here. It's not, you're not rewarded on the basis of your gifts, your talents, or what you've accomplished. You're rewarded on the fact that you showed up. And and why should somebody get a 94% and you get a 63% and then they get a better job than you in the socialist job market?
Yeah.
How does that make sense in an egalitarian, equalitarian, socialist job market? See, the problem with the socialists is that they don't realize, or they don't want to realize, they don't want to come to grips with the fact that there are moral character issues that are divergent amongst various groups of people. And there are different gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given to different people. Yeah. And some people are not worth $18 an hour. They're worth $3 an hour in the free marketplace. And that's the kind of thing that socialists don't like. So by the time you make it to school, you know, why do you want to reward somebody over somebody else if it's an egalitarian world? And that's yet another reason why Christians probably aren't doing as well on tests. They're not cheating. At least they're not supposed to cheat. It's possible there are Christians out there cheating. If that be the case, they're not living up to their profession, and they're just revealing who they really are on the inside. What you are on the outside typically reveals who you are on the inside. And if you're cheating, and if you're lying, and if you're stealing, then there's something wrong with your heart.
Yeah, I also wonder if within the socialist system, you know, that there's another thing that talks about that there's huge black markets in socialist systems, and that's dishonesty at its core, where you are trying to get something that you want, but you can't get it because it's a socialist system. So now you have to go and do some underground stuff, and so they're training them in dishonesty. So I wonder if that has anything to do with them cheating as well.
Well, all of this is an indication that our universities are not doing that well. There has been a significant decline, friends, in functional literacy amongst those with college degrees in America. It's dropping about 10% every year. We're talking about the number of people, the percentage of people that are able to read, are functionally literate, can read some basic prose. That is something like Eusebius's Ecclesiastical History or Augustine's Confessions or Calvin's Institutes. I'm just taking basic classic writings. Only about 40% of college graduates can handle that. Do you understand that, Steve?
Yeah.
They can read a portion of prose and tell you what was just said. I just finished Eusebius's Ecclesiastical History with my daughters, who are ages 14, 17, 19, and 21. We just finished that, and they can read smoothly. Every one of them, including Abigail, my 14-year-old, can read smoothly through Eusebius's Ecclesiastical History, which was translated in the latter part of the 1800s. Still difficult to read. You know, you got 57 words constitute a single sentence. Not easy to follow the theme and the train of thought. I'm sorry, it's not written by like your classical worship and praise song in your average evangelical church today. That's not the way that they would write. Okay, that's not the way they would write for 2,000 years of Christian history. People had brains, and they would write conceptually, and they would work through complex ideas over a period of pages and pages and pages. Your average college graduate today can't handle that. They can't do it. They cannot do it. And it's taken us 4 months to work through 400 pages of Eusebius's Ecclesiastical History. I have done a study guide in the process. And yet that's the way we need to be training our children. I think by the time they graduate from high school, they need to be able to read much better than your average college graduate. I think. Otherwise, we're just wasting our time.
If you look back at the beginning of this country in the colonial days, there was a study that was done on the literacy rates of children and adults. And it was in the 90%, 94, 96%. And the Federalist Papers, which college students complain about today as being too difficult, were written for the sixth graders and, you know, 12-year-olds and above, and they were reading them and understanding them. There's also a test in the 1800s that was given to eighth graders that had to pass this test in order to get to be a freshman in high school if they wanted to continue in their education. There's one that's for Saline County, Kansas, that I remember Rush Limbaugh did questions to his people who were calling in. Nobody could answer these that were college graduates. They had to do with, you know, what's the chief export of whatever. If you raise the mill levy on property taxes from 1 to 1.2, how much would that increase your taxes if you earned $100,000 a year? Nobody was able to answer those, and that was an eighth grade test back in the 1800s. We have dumbed people down.
Well, and that's what New Republic says. New Republic, of course, one of the most liberal magazines in America. New Republic has got an article by William something or other. Yeah, I can't even read his name.
You can't read, yeah.
Can't read his name, yeah. He writes an article, July 21st, 2014, meaning about a week ago. And here's the title: Don't Send Your Kid to the Ivy League. The nation's top colleges are turning our kids into zombies.
Wow.
Yeah. This is the this is probably the most liberal magazine in America. Say, don't bother sending your kids to the Ivy Leagues. It's just not worth it. And it goes on and on. But he says, I taught many wonderful young people during my years in the Ivy League, bright, thoughtful, creative. Very few saw college as part of a larger project of intellectual discovery and development. Look beneath the facade of seamless well-adjustment, and what you find are toxic levels of fear, anxiety, depression, emptiness, aimlessness, and isolation. That sounds like your average millennial, so I'm
yeah.
not sure. That's just a millennial, guy. Yeah. I mean, come on, you know? That's what you get when you teach them that they're cosmic dust for 40 years.
Yeah.
And you know, you just move them towards a nihilistic culture with Lady Gaga. And, you know, you're going to wind up with people who are aimless. People are empty. People are depressed, anxious, and fearful, okay? And if you don't teach them that there is the resurrection of Christ, and death is not the end of things, and there is a meaning and a purpose to life, and that is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever, that's a whole different teleology, my friend.
Yes.
And then whatever you guys have been teaching at Harvard Law School for the last 100 years. Okay, he's also concerned that there's a huge violent aversion to risk, meaning they're not going to be entrepreneurs.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to find a nice little safe little job somewhere where they make their $62K a year and hopefully retire by the time of 65. They'll be euthanized at 69. So, you know, that's their goal.
Yeah.
That's what they want. They have an aversion to risk. Return on investment, says this guy. That's the phrase you often hear today when people talk about college. What no one seems to ask is what the return is supposed to be. Just earning money? It's the only purpose of an education to enable you to get a job. And we've been saying this many, many times. No, no, no. The reason to go to college is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever.
Right.
It's to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness.
Okay? Sounds like
way, way beyond money here.
Sounds like Westminster Shorter Catechism.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Okay. The first thing that college is supposed to do is to teach you to think. That doesn't mean, simply mean developing the mental skills, particularly to individual disciplines. College is an opportunity to stand outside the world for a few years between the orthodoxy of your family, exigencies of career, and to contemplate things from the, whatever.
Yeah, so
in other words, he's saying for 4 years, you're going to pretend like there is no truth.
Right.
And somehow you kind of create it yourself. No. The purpose for college is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever, seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It is also to help you to think, but to think upon what? On the basis of what? On the basis of the fear of God, on the assumption that God exists, on the assumption of good presuppositions that give you a good, solid, cohesive, coherent worldview. That's where you begin. You begin with a coherent worldview, and then you work off of that. And it is true, you should learn to problem solve. It is true that, and by the way, this idea of getting outside the real world is bogus, because then you don't learn a life-integrated form of thinking. You're not going to know how to risk in the marketplace. You're not going to learn how to work. You're not going to see any connection between knowledge and life. See, this guy's messed up anyway. His theory of knowledge messed up, and I wouldn't send my kid to his college either.
Right.
But that's because New Republic is still wandering around. All they know is whatever they're doing at the Ivy League schools isn't working. That's
right.
All they know. When they say it's not working, I don't even think they know what it means to not work.
Yeah.
but what isn't working in this nation is character. Character is not working. Okay? You get a millennial generation where 64% of these women are having kids outside of wedlock. There's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with it. And I can say that with a great deal of confidence. There's something wrong with the fact that 70 to 80% of young men aren't grown up by 30 years of age, up from 30% in 1970. They don't have jobs. They're not providing for a household. The women are providing for the households by a significant majority for the millennial generation. Okay, we're looking at a breakdown of character. Let's get to the real issues. These guys are wandering around saying, hey, they just don't know how to think. They don't know how to do this. They don't know what they don't know how to do.
Right.
What they don't know how to do is fear God and keep His commandments. And that's a real significant problem if the fear of God is the basic building block of knowledge. If that's the basic building block of knowledge, which we believe it is, as revealed by God, the absolute Himself, the only one who could possibly give us absolute truth. So we start with the basic presupposition. And the second area that I think lacks in these schools is life integration. The schools are so separated from life.
Yeah.
Of course they're not risking anything. Why? Because they're not in the real world. You get into the real world, you're risking something. The laboratories are set up for you to succeed.
Right.
Every lab I ever did, you did labs?
Oh, yeah.
You did labs. Every lab you ever did set up to succeed. You get out into the real world, first thing that happens, you don't succeed. You're like, well, wait a minute. It was supposed to succeed. No. Almost everything you do is not going to succeed the first time.
Right. And at least back then, they told us that. I remember that when I was going through nursing school and going through clinicals and going through labs and stuff like that. They kept telling us, okay, everything that you do will work, but this isn't real world. Once you get into the hospital, this isn't going to work every time.
All right, what's the moral of the story on this edition of the program? Bottom line, universities are not teaching you to think. They're not teaching good logic. They're teaching you how to do non sequiturs, at least at Ohio State University. They're not teaching you life integration. They don't teach you character. They don't teach you the beginning of knowledge is the fear of God. They don't teach you just about every single one of the most basic, important principles of a good education for your child. And I've got these summarized in my book, Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. These guys are wandering around in a jungle of confusion when it comes to what constitutes a decent education for children. Universities do not have what it takes to produce it these days. Why? Because they've walked away from the basic biblical concept of a good education. Grab a copy of my book, Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child, available at our website, kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.